This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studios or at venues around the city, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and to find your next favorite artist, band, album, or song. And if you like what you hear, please make sure you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Jack Antonoff.
How's everyone doing? Okay, it's the newest song we put out and my origin story all in one. I've only got to play it a few times, so let's try it. I left the house years ago. Here's the story about a kid in the shadow. He just didn't want to be lonely. Started to fly, and she got sick. Pulled up and down and spun out real quick. He just didn't want to be lonely. Pulled into a Wawa in Philly in 2000. Blue magic coming out the speaker at the gas pump. All Jersey kids, we never learned to pump gas. So we sat there with the soundtrack. Met them all in the Wayne Firehouse glory days. Packed the van and spun through being cool. Man, those drive-through years really went slow. While our lights in the rear view was making it. Packed the van, my time was then. That's the story about kids in their shadows. Who just didn't want to be lonely. So glory to the ones who know the van. And glory to the ones on the edge. Think some of us need to chip away at what we don't understand. Slowly combing over it. Slowly getting under it. Cause there's no getting over it. So we drove back from the West with our new religion then. One-way tickets in heart and in hand. Said fuck anything in my way, it's forever now. And then just like that, everything changed. Cut off the light. Hey, that's the thing about loving your shadow. Well, years from then, I left the house and saw her standing on a rooftop. She said, I just don't wanna be lonely. I said, I just don't wanna be lonely. I said, I just don't wanna be lonely.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Funny to play this stuff so early on. I'm like fumbling through it, and halfway into it, I was like, "Oh, I should play a song with a capo. It'd be so much easier." And then I immediately thought about like doing it in like 4 months, and then remembering before I figured out how to do it. But I like that about this phase. Before the album's out, before the band has been on tour, and it's like I can feel the tension in it in an exciting way. And you learn shit. I didn't know that the line about pumping gas was funny. I didn't. I thought it was just a fact. I'm not joking. It's weird how that works. Like when I wrote "I Want to Get Better," when I first started the band, I thought everyone was gonna cry, and then everyone like danced. And it's really interesting. It's like a conversation with a friend, right? You like admit something, and the way they take it is different than something you were afraid of, and you learned something about yourself in the process. Play another song? Yeah, and then we'll talk. Okay. Song's from my last album. It's called ECMO. Jesus saves and Bubba scores. Childhood you will always mourn. Your family things out on the floor now. And you believed in every maybe. Shalala, that drove you crazy. Tough as nails and built for breaking. But you were just a kid when they told you you were born to bleed. Little soldier with your garden heart and sentimental boulder. Oh, it pulls you down. But look at you, you made it out. Now it's time to go, it's time to break it. Tear the locks out of the basement. Rearview mirror to the faithless. And you believed in every maybe. Sha-la-la, that drove you crazy. Told them all you were good at breaking. But you were just a kid when they told you you'd been born to bleed. Little soldier with your garden heart and sentimental boulder. It pulled you down. Well, look at you, you made it out.
Now you're just like the rain, carrying everyone's shame. But you move just like a river. No, you don't wear an inch of it, babe. I'll follow you down, 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 down. Down to the water, way down to any kind of chance, to a stone in a creek, till you're out of the blue. Honey, I can see it too, 'cause I was just a kid when they showed me this great big wave that would come and pull me like your magnet heart and sentimental boulder. I'll carry with you, throw it on my shoulder. You're my one way out, and I'm your dark horse clown. Bellissimo, look at you, you made it out.
That one not so funny, huh? We chat now, or do I play more? We chat a little bit? Cool.
Jack Antonoff, live from Racket in New York City on FUV Live Sessions. Doing a couple of songs here. We got an older one, ECMO. Not that old. It was from the last album.
Yeah, last album, yeah.
Yeah. And also a new one that I love called The Van, which is, it's got a great line. I really was going to ask you about the line about pumping gas. Do you know how to pump gas yet?
Well, I learned on tour. but it was, it's not like a, if you're from, I think Oregon also maybe, or Washington, one of those, but in New Jersey, you don't pump your, not only do you not pump your own gas, it's like you don't get out of the car. That's like someone's job, you respect it, you know.
Right.
It's like, it's not like a bitchy thing, it's like a point of pride thing. It's like in this state, we create jobs that way and stay in your car unless you're going to the bathroom or something. So I just wanted to create the scene of, I mean, so literally, I sampled Blue Magic's Just Don't Want to Be Lonely, which is literally a song that was playing at the gas station when I left for my first tour. So there's all this literal imagery, but this sense of, you know, six young people in a van have left six people who feel misunderstood in different ways and went on a journey that for me has been lifelong to not be lonely by sharing a lot with strangers often. And the imagery of us standing there not knowing who was going to pump the gas felt like, it just felt like, not in Kansas anymore, like our own version of that. It was very powerful to see because we're all just like, and it was sweet. And I was 15, which is, it was really, I was gone. And it was a different time. I was like gone, you know?
It's crazy that you started that early.
It is. It's. I think back on it, and I think it's like any life decisions where it wasn't crazy at the time. You know, and everyone's got that story. It's like, I went into the Marines, or I took this job in China, or I did this, or I followed this, you know, this relationship to here, or whatever it is. And you just look back and you're like, God, that was so crazy, you know, to like get in a van and start touring so young. But it wasn't to me. It's crazy now because it's led me on this road. And I found myself writing about it a lot on this album because as we all sort of have to be unfortunately split into like sentient human and like digital footprint, there's this feeling like one's actual origin story becomes erased. And I felt it like stressed me out. So the first two songs, Sideways in the Van, are really like about breaking that ancestral pact, leaving and doing that. I don't know why, well, I do know why I just said it, but I felt compelled to sing about it.
And you know, that line, just don't want to be lonely, another great line, aside from the line about not knowing how to pump your own gas, another great line, just don't want to be lonely, it kind of goes back to, you know, the early days also, where you were kind of going for an emo vibe, which I don't think anybody would describe your music as such. However...
Well, it was different then. Emo meant something a little different. It was like... Lifetime was breaking up, you know, Saves the Day and At the Drive-In were getting big. And it was like what, you know, maybe started with Discord in D.C. was coming up the coast a decade later in New Jersey. And it was about like sort of like absurdly expressive or emotional music. So it was a real badge of honor at the time. Then it kind of got big and shifted and changed. And now we have a whole different context of it. But it was a good time to grow up and learn how to play live.
And you, the title of the album, Everybody for 10 Minutes, can you talk a little bit about that? Because that actually reminds me of like a short story by Kurt Vonnegut. I don't know if you know it. It's like, Who Am I This Time? Where he talks about wanting to be, he's an actor and he's inhabiting this new role every single time he plays a character. But I feel like this record is very much you. You're not being any different characters other than yourself. It's very authentic. So tell me a little bit about the title of that.
The stories are all personal, and they're all about me. There's no character studies. I think I've been really interested in how we communicate, just as like people, and I think it's hit the bottom, and we all know it and feel it, and everyone's looking for a new way, right? So whether it's like touching grass or locking your phone away, it's like, we understand this is a scam and it's not working. And I became really interested. Two things happened. First of all, I got married, and there was this experience.
Congratulations.
Thanks. I wrote about it, but there was this experience where I had this wedding, and all the people I cared about most were in the room. And then there was like kind of like gawker people outside, and it's like they didn't exist, and it was so interesting. And I knew I would write about it because it was like after the wedding, a lot of people I knew who weren't there were like, "Oh, is it like mayhem with all those like onlookers?" I was like, "No, we shut the door." it was weird. It was powerful, but it made me realize like Issa Rae has. I think she has this great quote about like the iPhone being like the lowest stakes horror movie. It's like put it down, but we're all in this addicted place. So I knew I would write about it, and it's what Dirty Wedding Dress is about, this line, only my people can see me, only people come in, because I felt like the wedding and my actual audience, the people who really listen and care about what I do, it's like a really beautiful relationship, those people. And then there's this other group of people that I can't think about. And this everyone-ness, so sorry, this is a lot to chew off, but bite off. I was going to airdrop myself a song when I was in the studio, and it wasn't coming up. And then I looked, and I was like, oh, because the computer's not in my context. Then I saw everyone for 10 minutes on the phone, and I thought, I was sort of stunned because I'd finished writing the album. This always happens to me where I see something, like accidental poetry, and that's my front door. And I was like, oh my God, how powerful that this thing that is really destroying a lot of my favorite parts of being alive, and all of ours, knows it can't be accessible to the whole world, or else like I'd be bombarded with terrible things, right? Like imagine being on the subway and having your AirDrop on. For real, it'd be really, you'd get the worst of humanity. And I was like, oh, that's such a beautiful statement. And I just loved it. And I always want my titles to be somewhat esoteric because the music is so literal. But I want to say one more thing about this, which is I feel an amazing amount of hope, because regardless of how divisive a lot of things feel, there's one thing that everyone agrees on, which is this sucks. It does, for real. It really does. And it's not community. It's not interesting. Interesting things can't be shared. It always just debases to the worst place of rage, and it's all for someone else's profit. And to have our hopes and dreams in a thing, and our loved ones and our text messages, and have all of that be listened to and have those concepts marketed back at us, is really hard on the soul. It's why I love going on tour. It's why I love writing, because you can't really do it cynically. So sorry for the monologue, but that's where it all came from.
Thank you. Thank you for explaining that and actually giving us...
Bet you want to talk about pumping gas now. That was a little bit...
Do you feel like you want to talk about something light? Because I will ask you a little bit about New Jersey versus New York, because I read something about you saying that New Jersey has better pizza, bagels, and sleaze. And I don't know that that
Here's my theory.
Is true.
Here's my theory. If you're not from here, you know what I mean. If you're from here, take it as a compliment. New York is made great by the people who dream about living in New York.
Yeah. Okay? I think E.B. White said that too.
So I'm not a New Yorker. I live here, but I'm not a New Yorker. I'm from New Jersey. And it has so much magic to me because it's not where I'm from. It's not my perspective. My perspective is over there, looking in the window, and I wake up and I'm like, this is so cool that I'm in New York. I still love living in Jersey as well. But I think a lot of that great stuff, Chinese food, Italian food, bagels, I think is better in New Jersey. That's what I think. 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 That's what I think.
Well, we agree.
And some people have agreed. Some people have. And I will make an argument that'll be hard for you guys to have a problem with. The price of real estate here makes it impossible for some of the greatest food artists to actually do what they do. So fuck with that, okay? Anyone want to boo that one?
All right, I cannot argue with that. I cannot argue with that. And you guys do have some great delis, I will say. I'll say you have great delis, but I think we have better pizzerias.
On average, any random bagel spot in New Jersey, in any random town, on average, is going to be better than a random bagel spot in New York.
Agree to disagree.
That's what I think.
Agree to disagree. And on
that... Where are you
from? I'm from New York City.
You're from New York City?
I'm from New York City, born and raised.
I fucked myself here.
Born in Manhattan, raised in the Bronx, live in Manhattan now.
Yeah, well, you're like a unicorn.
Like an actual New Yorker.
Very few... That's a whole different thing, and it's just... it's just great. You should come to New Jersey.
I will not cut you, although I could.
You should... Pork roll. No, I think I say Taylor Ham.
It's so fun. No, I have a lot of love for Jersey.
Do you know Taylor Ham pork roll? Do you know?
Yeah, of course. I know about Taylor. Look, I have a lot of love for New Jersey. Of course, I love Taylor Ham. It's incredible. It is. You can't get that in New York, really. And it's good on a bacon. I mean, on a ham, egg, and cheese.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. You can only get that in Jersey. We don't do that.
That was just breakfast. No one ever said when I was growing up that wasn't like a good way to start the day.
Not the healthiest,
it's
I
just
suppose.
Like, why don't you wake up and crash your fucking system with everything you can?
Well, it's not like bacon's that much better, so.
I used to think of it as like a whole bagel filled with whatever I felt like during the day was a suitable meal. You know what's the hardest thing with food when you tour? When you show up somewhere, everyone's like, you got to try the hot chicken. You got to try the cheesesteak. You got to try our gumbo. And it's like, you can't eat like that. Like, we all are in New York, right? Like, you don't eat pizza every day, right?
No.
And when you're on tour, you get into these loops where it's like you get to the place and someone at the venue is like, have you had our like garbage plate? That's a real thing. And you're like, no, we got to get some. And then you're just like, you get home from a tour and it was like this tour we have coming up, I'm like, I can't do it. I'm done. Like, I have so much respect for like the hot chicken in Nashville, the lemon pepper wings in Atlanta. I can't do it though. Like, I have to treat myself like an athlete.
You are an athlete of music. You are. And in fact, we're going to get some more music from you right now. You're going to play us a new song. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this next song that you're going to get into?
Yeah. One second. Let me take this off. This is a song. Great segue. When someone's dead, there's a lot of artifacts that remain, and there's an absurdness to them. That, you know, something as big as someone's existence gets reduced to things. So I wrote this song about that called I Can't Believe You're Gone, and I've really never played it, so I'm just going to try it.
All right, Jack Antonoff, live from Racket NYC on WFUV.
Another year passes of hopes and derailments, blood tests and high chews and loving the careless, litigate the family, our father's condition, better man speeches whilst caveman tradition, but inches of glory and the leaps of true faith, no they don't come easy, but they honor the ways that another day over, a moment or a year, bring me right back to the start with the same damn words I fear. So you retrace the steps and you dust the past footprints. There's a wasteland in you, is there something you've missed? These grand self-obsessions are a way of hitting snooze. The truth is too dark and there is too much to lose. But inches of glory and the leaps of true faith, no they don't come easy, but they honor the ways that another day over, a moment or a year, bring me right back to the start with the same damn words I fear. I can't believe you're gone. There's the car that we drove when you were still around. Some clothing and wallpaper, a Burger King crown. Sand bottles and essays outlive you, how wrong. This room is a nightmare, this room is my God. It's where I'll finish the wire, where my face hits the floor. Where I chose to leave, where the God met the whore. Some days a giant, and others a kid. And some days I'm too scared to even fucking begin. 'Cause I can't believe you're gone. Well, maybe we should all move back in as a family and torture each other during TV hours. Talk about money and our father's condition. Be real about that one true thing we're all missing. And you know it's a leap, but sometimes you wanna say that tonight's the night and we're gonna be okay. These hope-filled lies, these unearned traditions, if you repeat them enough, you can live with somebody who's missing. Thank you guys so much. I played that like once for people.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's kind of like a poem more than a song a little bit. I was supposed to go to Ireland.
Yeah,
I love Irish music, and so I wrote that song imagining I'd record it in Ireland. And then I didn't go. And but I kept it. And so on the album, there's like it feels. There's fiddle and there's the bit of whistle, and it's interesting. It's kind of like American impression of Irish music, which is it's a genre I like.
Got tired, and all the days have gotten short, and the love that I dreamt of has come to me at my worst.
Well, the nights I don't remember are the ones I can't forget. When all your heroes get tired, I'll be something better yet.
I remember driving out of this state, acting like nothing dies, until somebody sold us. They sold us all kinds of lies.
Well, all the nights I don't remember, they are the ones I can't forget. When all your heroes get tired, honey, I'll be something better yet. In a focus, I'll be coming. In a focus, I'll be waiting. In a focus, I'll be dreaming. In a focus, I'll be something better, yeah. In a focus, I'll be coming. In a focus, I'll be waiting. In a focus, I'll be dreaming. In a focus, I'll be something better, yeah. In a focus, well, I'll be coming. I'll be dreaming in a focus. I'll be something better, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much. God, I cannot wait to be on tour. It's making me feel it. I hate not being on tour. It's tough. I really like to be on tour, and the tougher things get out there, the more I love to be on tour, because you feel connected in like a hopeful place. It's really like I never thought it would mean more to me through the years, and it really has. That's not a compliment to the world. It's a compliment to touring.
Playing live, I cannot imagine the feeling that you must have when you feel that electricity from the audience. Like it's a palpable thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean there's science. It's like, yeah. It's a crazy feeling, and you feel it kind of the whole day, and then you get there and it's like you have to ride it together, and there's a thing that can happen, and we pretty much won't leave the stage unless it happens, but there's like a transcendent place that it's like all my life outside of there, I have thoughts and like germ issues and considerations.
Germ issues?
Big ones, yeah. Like a lot of notions and takes. They're plagued by stuff, and I get up there and...
Gone.
And yeah. It's the only place in my life that's like that. And I think I think it's the point of life if you can find anything that does that for you. And so I keep coming back.
Yeah, it must be such an amazing feeling. I'm Elise Ellie here on WFUV. Jack Antonoff performing songs live at Racket NYC. for FUV Live Sessions. A couple of great songs there. All My Heroes off the album Gone Now, and I Can't Believe You're Gone Now off the new album Everyone for 10 Minutes. So many beautiful songs in your catalog, and All My Heroes is such a great song that we've been enjoying for a while. Can you tell me some of your musical heroes? Two-part question. Okay. And who are the musical heroes? And who are the musical villains?
Ooh, interesting. The heroes, probably Tom Waits. I end up coming back to the most. And it's he's obviously one of the greatest to ever do it, but it's also a specific time in my life that he really soundtracked. And it's really interesting to go back to those records that meant a lot to you at different times. They don't transport me back, but they make me feel like I'm here now, but like watching a movie of that time or something. It's odd. I'm not like living it again. So the other day I like listened to Foreign Affairs on a walk, and I think it's one of the best albums ever made. I love the Mountain Goats so much.
Nice.
I think John Darnielle is lyrically the Dylan of our time, without a doubt. He's just completely taken me to so many different places. His ability to talk about unrelatable things and make you feel part of the story. I think Cotton might be the greatest lyrics ever written. I love him. I love... there's so much music I love. I'm in a phase of my life now where I've been making a lot of music, so that's mostly what I spend time with. And I get into phases where if I'm working on something, it's kind of all I listen to, because the studio for me is like a little bit like frantic. And then I leave and maybe I'll like eat something, and then I'll play back the tape from the day, and I'll know exactly what works and what doesn't. And I'll go back tomorrow and I'll fix those things and try something new. So I actually, like, that's my listening habits get in these weird phases where I don't listen to anything for like 8 months. And then I come back and hear like Dolly Parton again, and it's like the first time. Or, there's so much music I love. I don't have any musical villains, because anyone who doesn't, you know, really, if I have a feeling like they're not there for the right reason, they're kind of invisible to me. I think the act of it in general, it's pretty hard for me to like dislike an artist.
What about not? Okay, so that's
a smart
thing.
There's a lot of villains I can go.
What about a villain for music in general?
Oh, the industry is horrendous.
Trash it. Go.
Yeah. Well, I think the easiest, and it's not like this in other countries, but the easiest way I could put it is because we see art as something that isn't a right, like it's like a choice or a hobby, we don't honor it financially. So a perfect example is a venue. You know, no one comes to work at a free at a venue. No one does. The band often does. All the time. It's a very funny thing, and it's you're dealt this. I hope it's getting better, but at least me and a lot of my people know. I'm a songwriter. Well, let's think about a backup plan. What's a plan B, you know? And so when you choose to do something like that, I want to play music to people, I want to go on tour, it's like, okay, that's on you. You know, let's talk in a year. Let's see how it goes. But no one, you know, it's about respect for craft, because the greatest lie about art is that there aren't jobs. There's tons of jobs. Tons and tons and tons of jobs. And I think a lot of people who deter people from living their dreams and making things are often people who didn't get to and want it to be more punishing and hard than it is. And for real, and create that. Whereas I think going out and playing clubs and singing or playing drums in a band or doing sound for a band or anything is, I don't think there's more honest work in the world. And those are the people in my lifetime that, thanks, have always done it for free. And I always tell people, which I think they think is funny, that there's always, you know, artists are they're an easy group of people to screw over, because they will do it for free. because they have to do it. And that often gets exploited. And then, you know, you guys see it. You've probably heard me talk about ticketing stuff. The industry is wild. Turning a show into some sort of auction is an insane concept. I could go on that forever, but I think everyone's probably heard me say it.
I hear you. Yeah. And you actually do need to keep fighting that fight so that we can still access music and still have live music.
I mean, we got to get Trump out because he's completely in bed with it for a million reasons, but from that point of view. And then it's, if you really want to do all the research, it's the sports lobby. They play a huge role in it, in the secondary market and all that stuff.
Oh, for ticketing.
Yeah, but it's crazy that you can't just say, hey, there's my ticket price, then go sell it, that it becomes this. Yeah, you've heard me talk about it.
Interesting, interesting. So you know what I want to hear you talk about a little bit, kind of staying on this topic, but a little bit of a different angle, is you are still, like, the album actually has a lot of hope in it. And I think you're a very hopeful person, even though we did just hear a song called I Can't Believe You're Gone,
yeah.
Which, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But there's a lot of hope in this album and in your personality. And you've said that you have a lot of hope for art, even in this time, because, well, you tell me why. But the other thing that I think is so interesting is that there's a lot of, you know, AI songs now, like songs that are being created by computers. So why and how do you still have hope in this age when music can be created by, you know, ChatGPT?
Kind of like an example. I think food kind of leads the way historically. So, you know, we were long into the experiment of being able to make synthetic food, and nobody wants it. People have to have it because of the way our worlds and cities run, but everyone wants, you know, the most expensive food you can buy right now is food that comes from the ground. Right? In the 80s, it was like, what, like fusion or something? It was like, you know, this is like Mexican with Japanese moss and foam egg. And like, right? That was like, and then we've reached a point where the highest luxury was just to have something that's not filled with cancerous things in it. People don't want crap. They can feel it. Another great analogy is if you came over to someone's house and they said, I just bought this Picasso, right? And then I also have a print. And you're looking at both, and they're exactly the same. Which one are you going to rush over to and look at? The real one. Because as soon as it's a print, it's no longer aspirational. You're not in the presence of the thing that his hand was near, and the concept of greatness. And I don't make that kind of art, but if I'm near, like, a Picasso, right, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, wow, he did this, he thought this. And you think about your own life and what you might want to do. That dies when a machine makes something. It's gone. It's why there's no explosion of watching robots do sports. Or on my algorithm, I watch people lay brick. It's a calming thing for me. And then recently, it's amazing. I sit and I watch and I think, that's so cool. I can't do that, but I can do something cool. And wow, like all pure thoughts. And then I got serviced a robot doing it. I didn't even think twice. I just left because the second it's not about the human spirit, it dies. Don't get me wrong, it's going to kill library music, it's going to kill the way artists are paid, but you just watch, just like food, just like art, you see how many people want to go out and do things, why all of a sudden everyone's playing guitar again. Complete renaissance for real musicians, I think. A lot of the bad actors are going to fall off the cliff of AI, as they should, and I'm not downplaying the havoc, but for just art strictly, I could not be more hopeful because I feel like the people have already spoken.
And I could not be more hopeful for art because we've got Jack Antonoff on the scene. Still making great songs. And his new album called Everyone for 10 Minutes is a beautiful collection of songs. And, you know, I love the way that you speak so eloquently and poetically about grief. And it's a real... It's a real talent, and it's a real balm to the soul. Mm. So thank you so much for
nice.
That.
Thanks.
And thank you so much for this new record, and thank you for all of the songs that you have provided us. And you're going to provide us with a couple more right now.
Yeah.
Well, thank
can
you
I
so
play
much.
Like two more?
Please
cool.
do.
Okay.
Please play 200 more. Thank you. It's Jack Antonoff live on WFUV.
What a mix of emotions.
Count the steps around the yard. Consider drinking in the park. Hang the words of a perfect stranger in the hallways of my heart. 'Cause all the blessings are somebody else's. They're flowers in my neighbor's pot. I'm torn exactly into two pieces. One who wants you and one who gone dark. But I'm still inside. I'm a fast machine. I'm always holding your love supreme. My old 45's spinning out of time. But honey, I'm still on your side. I'm still on your side. The hopes I cannot find it. Am I the worst compass I can know? I took the bus across the bridge. I sold my bedroom from my home. Maybe it's the East Coast in the music, or this endless road to the past. But while they're praying at the 90s, they're covering up anything that lasts. And I'm still inside. I'm a fast machine. And I'm always home. You look like a stranger that I've known best. You look like a stranger I've known best. You look like a stranger I've known best. There ain't no book that I can live by. Just these naggings I can't shake. There's a hum coming from the basement. A little crying out for crying out's sake. 'Cause if I can learn to love your shadow, when your shadow hits the light, and there ain't no trace of what we've been through, I will shout until the day that I die that I'm still inside. I'm a fast machine. I'm always home. Spinning out of time. But honey, I'm still on your side. Oh honey, I'm still on your side.
Thank you. Thanks to FUV, I was never cool enough for FUV, but here we are. We did it, FUV. Thank you all for being here. This is so memorable for me to get to play some of these songs for the first time. Really appreciate it, and sorry for the things I said about New York. And I hope to see you guys on tour. I love you all very much.
Well, I hear the voice of a preacher from the back room, calling my name and a follow just to find you. Trace the faith to a broken down television I put on the weather. And now I train myself to give up on the past, cause frozen time between hearses and caskets. Lost control when I panicked at the acid test. I wanna get better. While my friends were getting high and chasing girls down parkway lines, I was losing my mind, cause the love, the love, the love, the love, the love that I gave wasted on a nice face. In a blaze of fear, I put a helmet on a helmet, counting seconds through the night, I got carried away. That's why I'm standing on the overpass, screaming at myself, hey, I wanna get better. I didn't know I was lonely until I saw your face. But I wanna get better, 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 I wanna get better. I didn't know I was broken until I wanted to change. But I wanna get better, 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 I wanna get better. I wanna get up to my room where there's girls on the ceiling. I cut out the pictures and I chase that feeling of an 18-year-old who didn't know what loss was. Now I'm a stranger. Well, I'll miss the days of a life still permanent, mowing the years before I got carried away. That's why I'm standing on the interstate, screaming at the cars, hey, I wanna get better. I didn't know I was lonely until I saw your face. But I wanna get better, 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 I wanna get better. I didn't know I was broken until I wanted to change. But I wanna get better, 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 I wanna get better. Cause I've been sleeping in the back of a taxi. Man, I'm screaming out my bedroom window, like even if it's gonna kill me. Well, I woke up this morning early before my family. From this dream, she was trying to show me how a life can move from the darkness. She said to get better. And so I've put a bullet where I should have put a helmet, and I crashed my car, man, I wanna get carried away. That's why I'm standing on the overpass, screaming at myself, hey, I wanna get better. I didn't know I was lonely until I saw your face. I wanna get better, 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 I wanna get better. Well, I didn't know I was broken until I wanted to change. Man, I wanna get better, 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 I wanna get better.
Thank you all.
Jack Antonoff. Just getting better and better every day. Am I right or am I right? That was so good. What a special night. That was Jack Antonoff performing and in conversation at Racket NYC for WFUV. Thank you to Jack for joining us at Racket. Thanks as well to Dirty Hit and Dauntless Promotions. Thanks to David Schneerman for recording this episode and to Jim O'Hara for mixing and mastering the music. Thanks to Racket NYC for hosting us. Our FUV live in-studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producers for this episode were Diana Juarez and Ina Volovich. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Russ Boris books all of our artists. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist, band, album, or song. Episodes drop every Monday. Please rate and review the show if you like what you hear so other music lovers can find it. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. Most importantly, thank you so much to our live audience. Give yourselves a round of applause. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Elisa Ali. Thank you so much.